The Information Network of Christian Homes brings you the following message recorded live at the 2017 Michigan Home Education Conference in Lansing, Michigan. INCH exists to provide information, instruction, and inspiration to all Michigan home educators. For 34 years, INCH has been hosting the annual Michigan Home Education Conference. It's not just a conference. The Information Network works year-round to ensure that Michigan remains a safe place where Christian families have freedom to pass on their faith through lifelong learning discipleship. Find out more about INCH by visiting www.inch.org. The following message is copyrighted and rights have been granted to INCH for limited duplication and distribution. The message is provided for personal use only. No other rights are expressed or implied. The opinions expressed by speakers are not necessarily those of the Board of Directors of the Information Network of Christian Homes or the membership. Now we invite you to enjoy.
Okay, the presenter, Faith Shiptowski-Forbush, is a veteran school teacher, a reading specialist, author and blog writer with a master's degree in reading. Faith, together with her family, enjoys wholesome entertainment, travel, and outdoor recreation. Okay, develop your child's learning skills. What are some ways to do this? And if you've been to some of the other workshops, you know there's tons of ways to do this. What is one of the best ways to do this? One way is to use Marizano's 9 high-yield, get my numbers up here, instructional strategies. So there are 9 of them. This is accomplished by using one strategy at a time. So don't get overwhelmed because there's also a lot to each strategy. So you start by putting one foot in front of the other. Now the first strategy, and I'm going to summarize this at the end. Identifying similarities and differences. This strategy yields a 45 percentile gain in student achievement. Students should compare, classify, create metaphors, non-linguistic or graphic representations, and if you like to use analogies, that as well. Now, this is how it looks. So you can use thinking maps, T-charts. You're a teacher, so some of this sounds familiar. And those of you that are non-teachers as well. Homeschoolers will be aware of this as well. All teachers, all educators, let's put it that way. Venn diagrams, classifying, cause and effect links, compare and contrast organizers, QAR, which is question-answer relationships, sketch to stretch, affinity diagrams, and Frayer model. Now, when you go to my website as well at Christians Forever, I'll have all of this there. So, because this is a lot to write down. There are 8 types, and I'm going to focus now on thinking maps. When I was teaching in high school, I loved to use thinking maps, and I worked with alternative ed students. This was really good for them to focus. There are 8 types of graphic organizers. There are 8 diagram types that correspond with 8 different fundamental thinking processes. They provide a common visual language to information structure that I use when students take notes. So this is for all types of thinkers, basically thinking maps. So look at this one right here. See the circle? So this is used for defining in context. So you have the word habitat there, and then you write down definitions. A place to live is a habitat. It's a desert. It's a rain, or it can be a rainforest, or there could be animals there, right? Does that make sense? Okay. So that's one type of thinking map your student can use. The bubble map is used for describing with adjectives. So, for instance, it's raining outside. We have it's wet, umbrella, puddles, clouds, lightning, thunder. So what do you think this would be good for? This might be good for if you were going to have a writing assignment. Or if you were going to introduce your student to something that they absolutely don't know anything about. Boy, that sandwich looks good. Making me hungry. Okay, thinking maps. The flow map is used for sequencing and ordering events, and that's really good for timelines or step one, step two, yeah, step three. The brace map, this is used for identifying part-whole relationships. So you have your body systems here, and then you have your digestive, circulatory, respiratory, nervous. So part of the nervous system, which is part of the body system, you have your brain, your spinal cord, and your nerves. Does that make sense? Okay. The tree map. The tree map is used for classifying or grouping. So we have at the top apples. Apples are red, of course they can be green. They're a fruit, somebody thinks they're yummy, yes they're yummy. Shiny like a ball. Do you like apples, by the way? Does he like apples? Ah, I like apples too. So apples, you can feel them, they're smooth, they're hard, soft, round, they taste sweet, delicious, good, and juicy. Thinking maps. The double bubble map is used for comparing and contrasting. So you can see on the left is my rabbit, and then someone had written down here my cat. So my rabbit is gray and a rodent. And in contrast, my cat is a feline and very friendly, but they're both girls. Okay. Thinking maps. The multi-flow map is used for analyzing causes and effects. So give almond joy to my friend. The cause and the effect, it's the candy apple makes people happy, so that's one of the effects. This caused my friend to share candy or share their candy with me or with someone else. A friend sent, this caused them to send a thank you note to me. And then the friend feels better. So you have causes and effects. So you can look at that in science. How would you use that?
I think that's a great idea, like in science class.
In science class. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I never taught science. No, what is it you've taught?
No, I focus on reading, writing, and math.
Oh, reading, writing, and math. Okay.
But,
so could you maybe do that. What would you use any of these for math then? Thinking. You
don't
have math? Okay, let's see, maybe.
Writing class for sure.
Writing class for sure, yes. The bridge map. The bridge map is used for illustrating analogies. A character in, for example, Wilbur was in Charlotte's Web, right? We're all familiar with that, yeah? And then, for example, the analogy is Willy Wonka is Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, and then Sam is green eggs and ham. So that one's cool. Thinking maps. So you have basically the summary here. You have the circle map, which is for defining, the tree map for classifying. So for math, you could use a circle map for defining, like a word, right? Division. And then on the other part of it, you could give an example. You could do that for math. I could see that. And then your bubble map for describing something that could be in history, anything really. Any subject areas, double bubble map for comparing, flow map for sequencing, especially history, multi-flow map for cause and effect, especially writing, brace map, whole to part, science, bridge map, that could be for analogies. So, you know, you'll once you use these, you get more comfortable.
Where do you get these?
On myChristiansForever.com. Yes.
Okay, cool.
Give me a couple days to make sure I have it all, but we do have it, yes. Okay, second strategy, summarizing and note-taking. So this strategy yields a 34% percentile gain in student achievement, excuse me. Students should learn to eliminate unnecessary information, substitute information, and keep important information. So I use this a ton. Because as I was teaching alternative ed students, so I would be teaching 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders, but some of them would have third grade reading levels, okay? That was the reality of it. So I had to teach them how to take notes and summarize. Students should also write or rewrite and analyze information. Students should be encouraged to put some information into their own words. By the way, David, do you know if we have any of the books here?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, David. So, how it looks in the environment, you have educator models, summarization techniques, identify key concepts. I love bullets. That's my thing is bullets. Everyone has something they really like. Outlines, clusters, narrative organizers, journal summaries, breakdown assignments. And quick writes, graphic organizers, column notes, affinity diagrams. So I'm going to go with a summary here. Summarizing strategy. This strategy, here, if you could pass one of these around and let everyone, if you'd like to look at these, by the way, you're going to be looking at, he's passing around Learning to Read, which is New Testament stories. It's for second through fifth graders, and the words that are in the dark bolded print are the new vocabulary words. And the reason I'm showing you this is to introduce you to the study guide, Learning to Read, New Testament Stories, because we're on the summarizing technique. And if you see in that, there's a prediction exercise in each one of these stories. So there's 30 short stories. And in a prediction exercise, the person would say, they look at the title, Jesus, and then they predict what the story will be about. And then they actually summarize what the story was about. That's called the after prediction sentence. And that is what the technique we're looking at right now. Okay. This strategy includes instructing your child to read 5 to 10 sentences in the Bible out loud so they can do that out loud. Then after each sentence is read, ask your child to verbally summarize each sentence in his own words. So personally, I know this is a reading strategy, but when we read the Bible every day in our family, which we do, we take turns reading some of the verses, and then can you summarize it and tell me, what does this mean to you? So, and I do that with my adult children, and they do that with me. So,
paraphrasing,
yes. And so then what does that do? That leads to discussion. Okay, another strategy is to assign your child to silently read 5 to 10 sentences in the Bible, and then instruct your child to write a summary of each sentence. Because our verbal vocabulary is more advanced than our written vocabulary, we start out doing it verbally, and then we go on to what is written. When your child summarizes a sentence, he gives a condensed version of what he just read, and then he refers to the author's key ideas. Okay? All right. Third strategy. This strategy yields a 29% gain in student achievement. The homeschooler should give rewards based on standards of performance. Use symbolic recognition along with tangible rewards. So what I'd like you to do right now is take your right hand, everyone, and pat yourself on the back. Great job for you coming today to this whole conference. Aren't there tons of great speakers? Tons of great just being around other Christians. Isn't that nice? Kind of makes you feel safe. This is all like kind of a safe house. You know, out there in the world, you're just, you know, meeting whoever and whatever. But I feel comfortable because I'm around other Christians. So how it looks in the learning environment, hold high expectations. Give me 5. Display finished products, praise of student effort, encourage students to share ideas and express their thoughts and honor their particular learning style. Conference with the student, authentic portfolio. So you want your son, your daughter to have portfolios no matter what subject it's in. Even if it's short, that's good because they put it together so it makes sense to them and they learn how to present it. Stress-free environment, High Five, Spelling Bee, Constitution Day, and newspaper. Okay. Fourth strategy yields a 28 percentile gain in student achievement, and this is homework and practice. Homeschoolers should vary the amount of work based on student grade level, state purpose of assignment. So your son or daughter's older, they spend more time. Now when David, my one son who was homeschooling, I think first grade, I think it took, now you know teachers, when they're at school, you know how it is. You don't spend a lot of time with any one particular student because you have 30 to 40 students. And if you're in an hour class, you might be able to spend 2 to 5 minutes with a student if you're lucky, personally, if you want to do it with every single student. Mathematically, that doesn't even come out. But if you think if you're homeschooling your son, that's it, or daughter in first grade, and if you spend an hour with them, they're getting more attention than they do with that teacher all during the day that's there for 6 or 7 hours. Okay, how it looks in the learning environment. Retell, recite, review daily learning, reflective journals, write goals and objectives, and grade level teamwork and emails. So you have here, all of these things work together. You have your learning objectives. You have feedback and assessment. Ask your son or daughter, how do you feel about those? Right? And then how does it look at your teaching and learning activities? Your activities, the things that you're doing, is that really going to meet your objectives? And the same word, another word for an objective is outcome, or what it is you want them to learn. Okay, fifth strategy, non-linguistic representations. This strategy yields a 27 percentile gain in student achievement. Students should create graphic representation, models, mental pictures, drawings, pictographs, and participate in kinesthetic or hands-on activities in order to assimilate knowledge. How it looks, visual tools and manipulatives, that's especially easy in science class. You can do that in history class, you can do that in other classes, clay models. You can bake a cake, divide it, if you were teaching a math class and divide it, and then from dividing that cake into pieces, you could figure out multiplication problems. Okay, this looks like problem-solving organizers, spider webs, concept maps, drawings, charts, thinking maps, graphic organizers, sketch to stretch, storyboards. I love foldables. My high school kids, you wouldn't think it, but they loved foldables. They would really get into something. If I sat there and I just lectured to them, oh, they would say, okay, this is nice, but after about 10 minutes, their brain would shut off, okay? Really 15 minutes if we were lucky. But if I could teach them that same thing, write down what the objectives and outcomes were, and have them do it in a foldable, as you see right here, as you're going to see, that they just really got into it. Act out contact, make physical models. So this is what it looks like. Just have your kids do something in every subject area. Math, English, science, geography, anything, have them do foldables. It's fun. Sixth strategy, this strategy yields a 23 percentile gain in student achievement. Homeschoolers should assign roles and responsibilities in groups. So if there's only you and your child, then you're the group. So either you can write down the roles and let your child assign who gets to do what, or you can do that yourself. How this looks in the learning environment, and I'm trying to hurry so that we can get through this. Integrate content and language through group engagement, reader's theater, pass the pencil, circle of friends, Cubit, and radio reading. Integrate shared reading and writing plays. I love plays. Kids just love plays. And then if there's not a lot of kids in your family that are doing this, Jen, just change your voice like, Hi, my name is. Just have the voices, have them change their voices to play different parts. Jigsaw, group reports. How this looks in the learning environment, choral reading. So if we were reading this, we would all together would be reading this out loud. Affinity diagrams, students tackle word problems in groups and explain their answers. Thank you. So you see you have different parts here. There's a reporter, someone's an encourager. So someone in your group should just be an encourager. Like all the number ones are encourager, all the number twos are radio reporters, all the number threes are writers, etc. Seventh strategy yields a 23 percentile gain in student achievement, setting objectives and providing feedback. As a teacher, we always write on the board the objectives or the outcomes and then what the activity is. So that's why they're doing the activity. Homeschoolers should create specific and flexible goals. Feedback should be corrective, timely, specific to criterion. How this looks in the learning environment. Articulating and displaying learning goals. So let your son or daughter know what they're doing there. You know, as a teacher, we write down the number and then what their grade or how they mastered something, but write it down on a board or somewhere for your son or daughter to see. A, B, C. And, you know, give them an actual report. Let them feel the pride in what they're accomplishing. KWL contract learning goals. Homeschooler displays objectives, outcomes on the board with follow-up mastery of the objectives and outcomes. Okay. KWL, I use this in every single, and this is so old as the hills, but I use this in everything. I mean, from preschool to high school to college. This is what I know. That should be the short column. What I want to know might even be short because, like, oh, I'm here because I have to be, but what I learned should be huge. Okay, eighth strategy. This is generating and testing hypotheses. This strategy yields a 23 percentile gain in student achievement. Students should generate, explain, test, and defend hypotheses using both inductive and deductive strategies. So they need to hear these terms and they need to make sense to them. This is done through problem solving, history investigation, because when your students read books, you know, the history books they get, they're getting things like not directly like this person actually went there. They're getting it third party. So they have to be able to look at authentic facts and figures. History investigation, invention, experimental inquiry, and decision making. It looks like this. Thinking processes, constructivist practices, investigate, explore, social construction of knowledge, use of inductive and deductive reasoning, questioning the author of a book. And we all know there's different ways to solve the same math problem. Well, the way they did it 30 years ago and what they're doing now is just like totally different, but the same answers, right? Okay, let's look at this. This is a lot. I appreciate you guys. You're just hanging in there with me. Deductive versus inductive reasoning. Inductive reasoning, when you're using patterns to arrive at a conclusion. So look for patterns. That's going to be really something they need in college, to find patterns. Deductive reasoning using facts, rules, and definitions. Okay. Ninth strategy, questions, cues, and advanced organizers. This strategy yields a 22 percentile gain in student achievement. Homeschoolers should use cues and questions to focus on what is important. Homeschoolers should use advanced organizers that help them pull out the information that's most important, because everything they read is not going to be well organized, even if it's in a textbook. Okay, this is done through graphic organizers, guiding questions before each lesson. So there's a focus. Think alouds, inferencing, predicting. Think alouds is when your son or daughter is working on something, have them talk it out. Just don't expect them to do it just in my brain. One plus one is one. One plus one is. Have them think it out in front of people. Drawing conclusions, skim chapters, concepts and skills, and foldables, and annotating the text. Okay, there's lots there. How this looks. The think aloud strategy will ask a student to talk out loud when they're reading or solving the math problems or formulating an answer. Okay, very good. They need to verbalize it. And now we're going on to this other part here. Improving student learning is accomplished by using one strategy at a time and starting by putting one foot in front of the other. Now, the content area expectations. This is where you can see what other first graders are supposedly supposed to be at, okay, within the state of Michigan. And you go to the Michigan Department of Education website called michigan.gov to find out the specific content area expectations, and I have this link here, and this is for all subject areas. You look at the GLCEs, and that's the grade level content expectations. And then you look for the word standards for each grade level. So for the GLCEs, you're going to look first grade, second grade, 12th grade, 10th grade. Then you're going to go to the subject area. Is it math, science, social studies? And you're going to see what the accepted level of mastery is. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. Now let's go on to this last part. 7 learning styles. If you're visual, you prefer using pictures, images, and spatial understanding. To see, this person is trying to spell table. They're thinking in their mind, T-A-B-L, and then someone else is visualizing what a physical table looks like, and they're saying table, T-A-B-L-E. So by writing a picture down, drawing it, even if it's like me, I'm an awful sketcher. Both of my sons, Dave and Joseph, they can draw great. I can't draw worth anything, even though I took it in college. This is not there. But even with my lousy drawing or sketch, it helped me to remember, you know, how to spell it. And most people have a lot of, they're visual learners, okay? Oral, auditory musical. You prefer using sound and music. So they even have, maybe you've seen some kids that weren't to elementary school and they're trying to learn how to spell cat, C-A-T. So they'll go C-A-T, cat, C-A-T. So they clap it out. Or by what, ABCs, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, so what? That's how we learned how our alphabet, right? Okay, verbal linguistic. You prefer using words both in speech and writing. Do you know some people that talk like, oh, will they be quiet? Let me have a chance to talk. That person is probably a linguistic learner. Or a lot of teachers are linguistic learners. Physical, you prefer using your body, hands, and sense of touch. So by making models or, you know, doing something physical, making the cake, whatever, you can learn that way because you're using your hands and your sense of touch. Logical, mathematical, you prefer using logic, reasoning, and systems. This other type of learner is interpersonal. You prefer to learn in groups or with other people. I like to learn in groups. When I'm with someone else, I like to hear what they have to say. Don't you guys? Yeah? Okay. Intrapersonal, you prefer to work alone and use self-study. There's times that all of us like to be alone when we're trying to study something too, right? So we're kind of a combination of that. So use the best techniques for learning by recognizing and understanding how your child likes to learn, your child's learning style. This will improve the speed and quality of your child's learning. So again, these are the 7 learning styles. So you have self-smart, word smart, logic smart, picture smart, which is visual, body smart, music smart, and people smart. So again, I'm going to put a plug in here. My book, Learning to Read New Testament Stories, will help your child develop his reading skills. And the study guide will help them further develop their skills. And if you'd like to actually have this information, you can go to christiansforever.com. If you'd like to write that down.